Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone is doing great today. Let's open with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, so much for the promises and that all the things that you give us, that you can be with us and help us through all the things that we go through. Lord, I think of Brother Tuck, that you'd be with him and give him healing. And that you'll be feeling better real soon. And I pray for all my church family on that day. You can meet any need that they need, Lord. You know their needs, Lord, and I give them up to you. And also help me to be to look at your word and understand what it is trying to relay. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Okay, today we start Revelation 17, chapter 17. Titled this one, The Great Prostitute and the Beast. And it's in Revelation 17. I'm going to get through the first nine verses today. It's a new, new picture. It's still trying to figure it out completely, but as we read through the text, maybe it'll make some sense. It's about world religion. The Great Prostitute is actually the symbolic of a world religion. And it's going to be a combination of all the different religions into one world religion. And the Antichrist is going to use it for his, what he needs it for initially. But at some point, he's going to discard it and want to be God himself. And that would be in the second half. But at least in the first half, it's going to appear as though that this great world religion is the answer to everything. It's going to be like a big one, big kumbaya, you know, that trying to claim that we all worship the same God, which is not true. If you look at the different religions of the world, there is no way that we're all they're all the same God. So I'm not exactly sure where some religions today are getting this idea from. So as I understand the picture better, I'll explain it. But there it is. And we'll jump into the text. So, a little bit of an understanding of some of the terminology here, as I see it, is that they're going to talk about a great whore. And basically, it's a the whore in this case is a leader of a world religion who is going to be really apostate and doesn't recognize Christ as the true and only God, and that is going to start pushing his followers to look to the Antichrist as the true Messiah, and they're going to, at some point, going to force everybody to. It's actually this world leader, this great whore, that's going to, the better known as a false prophet, is going to force everyone to take a mark. And to worship the beast. So some of this is going to be a little symbolic of a this great whore is symbolized as a woman. And whenever you see woman in the mentioned in the Bible, it's usually a group of people. You know that we're considered the bride of Christ, which is symbolically a woman. The difference between us and in most cases, we're known as the bride of Christ. We're never usually referred to as a woman. Whereas the other two uses you'll find have to do with other parts of society, and as the as some people like to call it, the Jewish nation up until this point is considered the adulterous bride of God because they keep being wishy-washy. You know, sometimes they're worshiping God and the only one true God, but other times they're worshiping all these other gods of wood and stone and marble and gold, also all false gods. So that's where the woman comes in. And in this particular verse, we're going to see in this chapter, we're going to see there's two women that are talked about, mostly about the woman who's apostate. This woman is going to end up following the Antichrist. And so it's symbolic of his world religion, or people, or followers of the world religion. And of course, the world religion has a leader, the better known as the false prophet. So it's going to be a little bit of symbology in here about the false prophet. So start here in verse 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And also let me explain what water is. I think we've already done this a few times. And water is almost always indicative, except for things that are obvious, like the flood, you know, in Noah. That isn't representing people. But typically when it fits the context, water is usually symbolic of people. So I just pick up a couple of verses here to kind of point to these two ideas of the woman. And then I found a good verse over here in Nahum 3, 4, and 5. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms and families through her witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness, and the kingdoms thy shame. So he's going to expose them. Basically, this is what Nahum is saying, is I'm going to expose those false teachers, those false people that are claiming to be one thing, but they're not. And also over in Matthew 7:15, we also have Jesus here talking about it, about false prophets. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. So this is basically symbolic that these people at first are going to seem like really good people, really devout, religious people. But careful, because they're underneath, they're raving wolves. And Jesus warns us about this. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit, as we're going to see in these next couple of chapters. Okay, on this Revelation 17:2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of fornication. So in this particular verse, we're talking about the kings of the earth, okay, and that's basically world leaders, have committed fornication. So they've fallen into the trap of this world religion, and they're going to end up following this beast through the false prophet. And so what they mean by this is that whenever the Bible uses fornication, besides being somewhat of a sexual term, it's also meaning that you've turned away from your worshiping false idols. And so usually fornication can mean, in this particular verse, it means that they're following after the wrong gods, the wrong people. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So they have fallen, hook, line, and sinker, we used to say when I was a kid. That term is still popular. And they have just bought into this whole world system, and that they are not looking at anything else, or not using reason to try to figure out what they... And Revelation 17:3, so he carried me away in the wilderness. Now, this is John. In the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coated beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, this is where I want to make sure that people don't get confused, because we've talked about another woman in Revelation 12, which would represent Israel. And Israel at some point is going to turn and realize their true Messiah, and God is going to protect them and bring them and save them. Now, that part has already happened, and so they're being protected most likely in the Petra area. So I wanted to make sure you understood that the woman we're talking about here, even though it sounds similar, this particular woman, if you look at it, is scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And we saw seven heads and ten horns before, and so it represents Satan and his people, the Antichrist. So just as a comparison, I want to make sure you understood that not to confuse the two women, because over in Revelation 12:6, this woman, as you can see, is talked about as being the actually in the verse just before this says at 12:5, and she brought forth a man child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. So that's Jesus Christ. And so here in verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So this woman is representative, and again, it's like I said, it represents a world system or a group of people, particularly religious groups, just like we're symbolically women by being the bride of Christ. And this woman is symbolically the entire nation of the Jews who ended up following Christ and being protected here in Revelation 12:6, which is getting ready to start to actually happen. It hasn't, they're being protected right now during this time frame of chapter 17 in Petra. So continuing in Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having seven heads and ten horns. Now, we just wanted to point out that you see here the great red dragon is always depicted as Satan, and he has seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. So you can see the correlation between the different characters in this verse. In Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination, the filthiness of her fornication. And I'm going to bring up some things here that I have a book that I would highly recommend if you want to dig further into this particular subject. But there is a lot of us prophecy folks that can see that a certain denominational church in existence now. Now, I want to say this very, very carefully, because I believe that there's a lot of the people who are in this church that believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and are going to be saved. But that the church itself, I feel, is not following the Bible correctly. And that would be the Catholic Church. And I just want to show some symbology of some of these verses and some things that kind of stick out when it comes to the way this this is spelled out in Revelations. So I want to just review a few things about the Vatican and about the Pope so you can get an idea of where I'm going. And so I got a map here. The Vatican and Rome is positioned in Italy, and where that red dot is where it is. And you'll notice it's right on the edge of the, that would be the Aegean side, I think. I forget now. I don't think it's the Aegean. No, the Aegean side is the other side. That's right there close to the sea. And you can see kind of where it is in the world. It's right there below Spain. Those that really didn't take geometry. So get you an idea where I'm talking about. And it's at a place called Vatican City. And believe it or not, it's a country of its own. It's separated from all other countries in the world. And the only person that actually, there's a lot of people that live there that support the Catholic Church, but that's actually only mainly designed for the Pope. And so this is the layout of it. In this area, that looks kind of like a little round circle area in front here, in this big wide open area, is where the Pope gives his addresses when he talks to the people. I'm going to kind of show you a picture of that. This entire area you see here is Vatican City, which is not part of Italy. It's actually a country all by itself. It has ambassadors and everything. And there's that thing I was pointing to. And this is where the position of this photograph, the Pope would be just below this this roof area here when he addresses the crowd. And I'm going to show you a picture where this entire area is just full of people. I picked this picture because I want you to look at what's circled around here. You see all these little figurines and statues all the way around the edges. And those are the saints of the Catholic Church. And that's one area that I have a problem with. I don't believe you should be praying to saints. You should always pray directly to God and not. Now, they have a little bit different explanation for it. They say that the saints actually help their prayers get to heaven. Well, my Bible says that we are fully able to go right to the throne room and pray directly to God. So I think that's one area that they're definitely incorrectly interpreting the Bible. There's another part that's going to talk about seven hills. So I took this picture. It's an old picture, but it doesn't have the city in here. But these are the seven hills of Rome and where they're kind of located. And the Vatican in this particular picture, if it was here, would be up in this bend in the river that you see kind of up towards the top left. Give you an idea where it's at. Now, this is the Pope himself kind of addressing the crowd, giving out one of his masses. And you can see the people out there. I mean, there's tens of thousands that when he comes out to speak, he's got a lot of power over the people. And that's another area that is concerning because basically what he says goes. That's a lot of power for one person to have. Now, these next couple of pictures I pointed out because in that verse, he kind of mentions purple, scarlet, gold color, golden cups. So it kind of makes you go, I wonder what that verse is talking about. And some of the instruments when he's given mass, you can see he's all decked out in purple. And there's the, when he gives communion, these are the cups he uses. And notice how they got nice inlaid stones in them, and they're really all gold color. There's one of the verses going to talk about when we get to it, that about kings of the world. And this was not too long ago. This was a 9/11 memorial service that he did with all the world leaders of every religion trying to build a multi-religious service and kind of like accepting that all religions are one in the same. So those are the areas that I just thought I would point out. I am not going to dwell on it too much. But again, if you're curious about this, I read the book, and I tell you what, there is so much evidence in the Bible about who this false prophet may be. I mean, who the, yeah. It's called Dave Hunt, A Woman Rides the Beast. Great book. Lots of, it's got full of verses to reference. It's an older book. Yeah, Dave Hunt, I believe, is no longer with us. He's gone home to be with the Lord. So as we read through some of these verses, it might you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. So again, I'll read this one again, Revelation 17:4. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That's now you know why I pointed to the great city. That Vatican City is a country all to itself, and over the kings of the earth. Well, he's got. I'll tell you what. I did a couple of checks just to see. Right now, the Catholic Church has about 17.68% of the world population are confessing Catholics. And at currently, this is based on a population of 7,093,000,000, 93,798,000 people in the world, and of that, professing to be Catholics is 1,253,926,000 people. I'll give you an idea of how many people listen to the Pope. Now, I will tell you right now, though, that this particular Pope they have right now, there are some in the Catholic Church that are very concerned about some of the things he's starting to say. So it's time to turn away from. So it might be a good thing, and they're starting to look, read their Bible, and realize that some of the stuff he's saying is not making sense. So I pray for them, and I think we should all pray for everyone to become a follower of Christ, and to read their Bible and understand it, and not to follow some of the traditions that have come down through the centuries. And if you really, and if there's any Catholics out there listening, I'll put this challenge to you to pick up a Bible and actually find some of the things that you're told to do, and find them in the Bible where it says to do them. And because God's word is the authority, and there's a lot of things that you're going to find in there are going to be give you some question marks as to who you're following. So I give that challenge out to everybody. So let's see, where am I? 17, 18. Oh, I said, yeah, I brought up this word verse just to show we're not quite there yet. We'll see that again when we get to it. We're actually in verse 4. And just to take a look at verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, a golden cup in her hand. And I want to bring up some verses in Deuteronomy that speak to this abomination. The abomination, filthiness of a fornication. And in Deuteronomy 29, 17 through 27, you have seen their abominations and their idols and wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Here Moses is talking about false worship. Let there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations. Lest there should be among you any root that beareth gall and wormwood. And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of my heart to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him, but then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Some strong language here about turning to other gods and to praying to things of gold and silver. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. So let the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say when they see the plagues of that land, and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admon and Zebulun, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all nations shall say, Wherefore hath the Lord done this unto this land, which meaneth the heat of thy great anger? And men shall say, Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. Okay, that's That's Moses is talking about what is how God feels about people who worship other gods and worship idols and figurines and things that aren't divinely given to them by God. Okay, Revelation 17:5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. We're going to get more into Babylon as we get into, particularly in the next chapter, but we'll get into it more as we proceed through Revelation 17. But Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. I might just say Babylon can be two things. It can be, it's a place. We kind of showed that to you yesterday. This is a artist's rendition of Babylon. It's actually a physical location. It's actually out in the middle of the desert in Iraq. And some believe that this could be the place that they're talking about, except that it doesn't match the prophecy of the seven hills. This is pretty flat out there. There's no hills. So it's hard to, but there's we'll kind of go through that because there's verses that kind of lead you both directions on who this mystery Babylon is. Therefore, behold, the days come that I will do judgment upon the graven images of Babylon. This is again idol worship. And her whole land shall be confounded, and all her slain shall fall in the midst of her. That was Jeremiah 51:47, by the way. Then the heaven and the earth and all that is therein shall sing for Babylon, for the spoilers shall come unto her from the north, saith the Lord. So we're going to talk a lot more about Babylon, and the this chapter here is more about the mother of harlots, which again is that false religion that's going to basically be controlling the entire world during the tribulation. Okay, Revelation 17:6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great imagination. And here again, we're talking about women drunken with the blood of the saints. So basically, this particular world religion is going to go out to destroy anyone who doesn't follow them. And this would be anyone that tries to follow the true Christ, which would include us that are saved, or anybody that becomes the tribulation saints after we're gone, and anyone having to do with Israel that is going to be. So this is what it's meant by the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great imagination. So if you remember back to Revelation 2:13, it talks about this a bit. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who is slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. And also over in Revelation 6:9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. So remember this, and that God went on to say, rest for a little while until the rest of your. So this is what they talk about as the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. They're bloodthirsty. They think they're doing God's will by killing off all these would-be Christians, and that but they're actually working for the Antichrist, and that they're going to get their day of judgment. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So that day is coming. Also over in 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death. So this is talking about the martyrs again. They ended up overcoming by basically giving up their life, but they stuck to their guns and they didn't give in, and that they will be honored and brought into the kingdom of God. So if you see in this, and it's during this time frame, stick it out. You'll probably be killed for it and beheaded, but the future you have coming to you is going to be so much better than if you give in to that mark. So don't do it. Okay, Revelation 17:7. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore dost thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. So here John's going to get an explanation. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. So the main portion of that is to realize that the beast that came out of the bottomless pit, okay, that would be Satan and or the Antichrist, are going to go into perdition. It means that they're going to fall. They're going to get their day at the judgment seat of Christ. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life. So these are going to be their followers that are going to end up being probably taking the mark of the beast and forever going to the lake of fire along with them. So a couple of verses on this particular subject over in Revelation 9:2 talks about the beast. The beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend. Why didn't they change? That was weird. Okay, there it goes. Program froze. And we see here that, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So that's talking about the, I just brought that up to point out the Antichrist, and where the bottomless pit is, and where it talks about it. And also in Revelation 11:7. When they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. This is the foretelling of the killing of the two witnesses by the by Satan, the Antichrist. That's going to be an interesting event because that they're going to lay dead in the streets for 3.5 days, and people will be celebrating and giving gifts to each other. We'll talk about this when it. In another chapter, but that then all of a sudden they're going to raise up and that they're going to go into heaven and they'll be basically resurrected and ascend into heaven. And I can see it now that everybody that has a cell phone will be watching it in real time. Probably be a lot of people converted that day. But hopefully they hadn't taken the mark of the beast yet when that happens. Well, see what ends up with them in Revelation 20:10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. So you can see that everybody's going to end up there and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Doesn't sound like a fun place to go. In Revelation 13:11, also talking about who the Antichrist is, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. I'm sorry, this is a false prophet. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So that false prophet, the guy that's going to be in charge, as we spoke of before, all decked out in purple and gold and precious stones, and is going to convince everybody to worship the Antichrist. And it and force people to take the mark of the beast. And here is so Revelation 17:9 now. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains in which the woman sitteth. Remember, I showed you that picture of the seven mountains. This is where I, the reason I showed that. Over in Daniel 12:4, found an interesting verse that kind of helps us to envision what we're seeing now. Because we're getting so much closer to the end of the world, things are making more sense to us that probably didn't make any sense to people, you know, 2,000 years ago. Or even 1,000 years ago, or even a couple of hundred years ago. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. And many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I think that's where we are right now, is that we're seeing this around us. We know something's happening and something's wrong. And it, it mentions being white, so it, the church knows what's going on, the true church. And so that, but the wicked still won't understand why we believe, and it's getting worse and worse. I find it interesting that people just don't understand why we believe what we do. See, there's also another great verse over in Hosea 14:9. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall. In Matthew 13:11, this is Jesus talking. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. That's another indication when Jesus is saying it, that you understand because you you know who I am and you believe me. But until they believe who I am, they will not understand, basically. So I'm going to stop there for today. We've already gone almost 40 minutes, so we'll try to look at some more at this chapter tomorrow. So I hope you have all a great day, and I will talk to you. Let's end with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for your words and all the things that you help us with, that you can be with us and comfort us and strengthen us, and that we can understand your word and look to your word for guidance on everything. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, have a great day.